four.
Nah, dude, not that kind of four.
Four men, four minds, eight fists, and a heap of silliness. They've traded in the bedroom for a proper studio.
And as always, these gents will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
But let's hope it doesn't come down to that.
Thanks to the butcher shop, Kayleen. Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, Scotty.
Yes, I died for 6 minutes. No, there wasn't a lie.
Masters.
Ben. In Soviet Russia, I punch you.
Edwards. Steve. Hey, baby, want to see my microphone payoffs? And Duke.
How good do my abs look?
Didier.
It is Season 3, Episode 9 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the crew at the Butcher Shop in Kayleen. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm the Gov.
I'm the Duke.
And we've got a special guest filling in for Steve Payos, a man not full of venereal disease. Please welcome from the Canberra Times, Caden Helmers.
How are you, bud? Canberra's favourite fighting journalist on Canberra's podcast,
eh? Nice, man. Thanks for coming in. The boys have been sort of saying for a while, oh, next time Payos is away, we'll get you in. So, mate, we're having a chat before, and it's nice. You're a Queanbeyan boy, went to UC, you're working at the Canberra Times, and you support the Newcastle Knights. So sure, you're all right in my books, man. You're all right in my books.
And it's pretty good timing for you too, mate, because it wasn't an awful lot happened in the fight world on the weekend, so you've got to carry the show.
That's all right by me. Right. Big shoulders.
Yeah, nice. Very, very nice indeed. Benny, fight week for you. We'll probably talk more about it in Bifurama, but I know we were in here at the office on the weekend filming some stuff for Fight Call Out TV that should be on TV Thursday night, I think.
Yeah, they sent me a text today, just wanted a few more details from me. So as soon as I know, I will post it on my social media.
Yeah, because I've been looking on Foxtel for the actual Hex fight, and it's still not listed. So I don't know.
It works is that they sort of squeeze it in.
Yep.
So it'll either be a very, very limited replay, like an hour later or something,
yep.
or they put it straight on. So you find out like normally the day before, they usually announce, like they put on, Hex put it up. So.
Yeah,
well,
right,
Fox obviously don't know I'm fighting. If that's the case.
What do you mean?
If it's going to be an hour delay, there's going to be riots in the streets. This is bullshit.
We will get it all sorted.
Dag Foxtel, man.
I know it's Ben Week, but it just can't be up, mate.
Duke, you started the week with some car trouble, buddy. I heard you were late for work this morning.
Yeah, late for work, car trouble. Yeah.
Well, at least you the green work every other day.
The Green Goblin, but I've given it a new name. It's Kermit the Car right now. Anyway.
Well, I've seen how you look after it. I can't believe it let you down.
But the car?
Yeah.
Yeah, geez, it's fun. It's a fun car.
He does $6,000 leaving the car park. This is the RPMs.
Well, it is an SS, so we should have a race, actually.
You'd win, mate.
Yeah.
I don't do car racing, mate.
Oh, dearie me.
What do you drive, Caden? Do I have the girliest car here?
I've got a Mitsubishi Outlander, so
that's okay.
I do have the girliest car here.
Yeah, what are you driving at the moment?
CX 3, mate.
Yeah, that white one. I saw that in the car. Yeah, it's pretty girly.
Imagine someone Ben cuts them off and they think it's like,
yeah, like that episode of The Simpsons with that giant dude. This is all I could afford.
Every day in that frigging thing.
Yeah. Have we heard much from Payos? I know, I've seen a couple of photos of him in a sarka. Do we know what he's up to?
He's loving it.
Hasn't been arrested yet.
Got yellow fever, I hear.
Amongst other fevers. He's an unhealthy man. Who knows what he's doing over there?
Yeah.
Not working.
Yeah. Well, he's on the up taxpayer's dime, so we'll suss that out. Duke, I did say you get the go first this week after your last week's sterling effort, so we'll get to that next. But Benny put in a request for this song. Some sad news across the weekend. Vinnie Paul, the co-founder of heavy metal band Pantera, died 54. Not a lot of information out of it, but they are saying he died in his sleep. So
yeah, I reckon the way they were living and videos I saw pretty recently, man. They were just getting like trolleys. They go to the grog shop, get just a trolley
those
full
boys
of
could drink
in their late 40s,
yeah,
and you're still smashing it. But yeah, they made the they made their mainstream like big time debut with Cowboys of Hell, but they had four albums in the 80s when they were a glam metal band.
They were. I've seen
that
some
no
photos.
One gave a shit about. They got rid of that stupid singer
and became rednecks.
They hired Phil.
Yep.
Yeah, from Arlington, Texas, and the rest was history, man. I reckon like from Cowboys like that actual album at one stage in time. That's probably the heaviest. Possibly the heaviest album at the time, I reckon. But they were like the original founders of groove metal. I've walked out to them for a couple of fights I've had. It's a huge part of the soundtrack to my teenage years. So it's just, you know, I think it's pretty fitting, especially considering his brother Dimebag got murdered on stage in Columbus, Ohio, December 8, 2004. I remember it.
It was
a crazy set of circumstances. There was a deranged ex Pantera fan,
who was upset
the two
with
brothers,
them.
The drummer and the guitarist, stuck
Formed
together,
Damage
and the
bass, Plan.
Yeah, and the yep. bassist and the vocalist. Took off to another band because just a huge falling out. Phil developed the lead singer developed a heroin addiction in 95 and due to back problems and jumping around how he did on stage didn't help things. But yeah, crazy fan basically jumped out of the crowd, shot him in the shot him a few times on stage. But the sad part was people thought it was part of the act or the gunshots were just sound effects and people didn't really know what was happening at that time. And there's a UFC connection there. The actual UFC fighter, Matt Brown, was in the crowd. For that very concert. So I thought it'd be fitting we kick off with the Cowboys from Hell, mate.
Yeah,
Cowboys from Hell, the song, the album, it's epic. Enjoy yourself.
All right, let's get into it. Thanks to The Butcher Shop. It is Season 3, Episode 9 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Yeah.
Talking Takedowns with the man who has a tattoo of Bon Jovi on his left ass cheek.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Duke Didier.
All right, Duke, I said you could go first this week, mate. True to the word, take it away.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Talking Takedowns.
Feel free to boo, chuck in D2 Bobsworth, Caden.
Not too
feel free to fast forward.
So not too much happened.
You do.
I'm getting heckled here. Everyone just relax. Yeah, so not much happened in the fighting this week. There was a couple of shows on. There was UFC Fight Night in Singapore that was on the Fight Pass.
It's a very cowboy-themed night.
Yeah.
Cowboys from Hell and Cowboy in the main event.
Cowboy in the main event. Yeah, so it was actually, they put some pretty good fights on that in Singapore. I watched it. I was on 10 o'clock Saturday night.
Did Cowboy look a bit off? Because apparently he was ill. It was the closest he was ever came to pulling out of a fight.
Yeah, oh, right. apparently he was ill, so he pulled out. He just looked one step behind against Edwards.
Was he outsized?
No, he was just one step behind.
Some 170s, he does look really undersized.
Yeah, he wasn't undersized.
Do you reckon he's in the middle, like a 165 guy or something like that?
He looks sluggish.
Yeah.
So I think he was ill. Like they said he was sick, so that might be a lot to do with him.
I'd be inclined to believe him. He's one of those guys like McGregor. If the date's there, he shows up.
Yep. No matter what,
he shows up.
And he can be hot and cold sometimes.
Yeah.
Like when he fought RDA, he just wasn't there.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of that was due to him being too busy. Like, yeah, what do you have, like 8 fights in a calendar year or something at one stage for years?
Yeah.
It's crazy, crazy busy.
And the co-main event was awesome. OSP versus Tyson Pedro from Australia, from Western Sydney.
Thank you.
It was it was a pretty cool, like fast paced contest. Yeah. And then Pedro got
I saw the highlights.
Pedro rocked him, had him stumbling with
and
a kick and took him down. OSP ended up getting the Kimura in the first round to finish it.
Right.
So he tapped him out, and Pedro's got a very good ground game. So but that's just vintage OSP. That's what he does.
He's had pretty nearly 40 fights or something, I think I read.
Yeah, and he's a good finisher on the ground. He loves that Kimura, but I was definitely surprised because it looked like Pedro was sort of very comfortable. He's very comfortable.
Yeah, he's so relaxed. He's just so his personality relaxed. Yeah. In general.
So it was a bit of a shame to see an Aussie lose, but he'll be back.
That's his first one, right?
Second loss. He lost to that Ilya Latvi as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He's a monster wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's he now? 8-2.
Yeah, 8-2. But I mean, look, that was a top 10 fight, and he didn't look out of place. Yeah.
He'll get another go.
Got caught after rocking the guy. He'll be right.
But he's only young. He's like 26. Big future for Tyson Pedro.
He was born into it, man. Yeah. I saw him when he was a kid at a King of the Cage show in bloody Penrith when I was...
Oh, really?
How old was I? I would have been about 22 or 23 or something. His dad, John Pedro, used to run the King of the Cage in Australia. And Tyson's been training since he was a kid. So he's one of those... one of this generation that's just been born into it.
Protégé kids, yeah.
Yeah.
And moving back on the card, Jesse Rose, the Aussie, lost to Jessica Rye.
It was Jess versus Jess, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jess won. Yeah. I called it.
Not bad in the eye, those two. It was all right.
Nah,
man. That's not your call.
She's about to go.
It's not your call.
It's subjective, Benny. It's like music taste.
It is.
Look, they were all right. It was.
I reckon Jess is a fucking cool chick. The other one, she's a bit up herself, man.
Yeah, especially when she won. It wasn't a very interesting fight. It was a bit sloppy. She got a takedown near the end of the third to sort of steal it.
Yep.
Ended up winning by unanimous decision. She was pretty American on the microphone afterwards. Loud.
Yeah. America.
Yeah, America. Yeah.
How about your mate? Jake, you call that right with Shinzo?
Jake Matthews won first round submission.
Yep.
So I wish I'd put some money on that because I knew it was going to happen.
What was it paying?
Not much. Not I don't know about for first round, but it was paying like $1.10.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Shinzo, I mean, obviously he's just not at the same level as Jake.
Yeah.
Jake's a big welterweight. Got come up from lightweight to welterweight.
Yeah.
Big kid.
And looks well.
I think he's 25. He's only 25 too.
Yeah.
Like 26. Nice.
Jake Matthews. Yeah. He's only a young guy.
This is this new breed where these people like. Like they're just all
well. These are the kids that were born, started watching it really young, and have gone. That's what I want to do, and they start training from a young age.
What was the attendance, Drew?
Oh, I don't know what the attendance was.
Well, I do. It was 6,419.
There's a real smug grin on your face.
Well, now you've officially got nothing for Bifarama.
No, he's just going to talk about himself.
Oh, great. In other news around the globe, PFL Ben's mate Ray Seffo had another show. Kayla Harrison made her debut. She's a 2-time Olympic gold medalist for judo.
Was this at the Garden as well? Where was this one?
I don't think it was at the Garden or somewhere else. But there was a fair few different fights on there. But the one the focus on the Kayla Harrison. So she won Rio and London for judo. She's a big girl.
Yep.
Fought under 78 kilos. She fought at lightweight for this fight, but she's looking for
which is 70
one of the first round armbar in 3 minutes. She's, you know, people are already comparing her to Ronda Rousey, which it's bound to happen.
Hands okay?
Hands a bit better than Ronda, so and she's big and powerful, and she's got a, you know, killer mindset.
There's not a lot of lightweight chicks out there though.
No. But she's dropping down to featherweight, and so obviously the division that is there for UFC.
She can do it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because she's
get her and Cyborg at 75, man.
Wouldn't it be good to see Cyborg tested with a good grappler? So, yeah. But the other thing is that, you know, that's a scary matchup for anyone.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Yeah, as I said, 2-time Olympic gold medalist, not one but two. You know, like, so she's definitely got the talent. So it would be interesting. Just keep an eye on her. She'll be fighting in the next couple of months again.
Yeah,
wow. And also, Bellator news. They've got the super fight booked. Musashi versus... who is it? Sorry.
I know they signed Machida.
No.
Oh, Musashi.
It's Musashi and Rory McDonald. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, Musashi versus Rory McDonald. That's awesome. So that's going to be for Musashi's middleweight title.
Yeah.
But Rory's the welterweight champion over there.
Yeah, the Red King. That's a crack. I trained with Musashi when I was in Holland. I think I've said this about 45 times on this podcast. But that's a cracker fight, man. He don't forget, he was 5-0. He was on a 5-fight win streak in the UFC when he got went to Bellator too. So it's not like he's coming to the end of his career or anything. Mm. He's well in his prime. He just got...
I think
he's pretty happy with the coin.
I think he could have given Whittaker a go, but like his style.
He's just a solid all-rounder. And I'm usually not a huge fan of all-rounders, but he is like really good.
Yeah, so he's cool. And then, as you just spoiled for me, Machida signed as well with Bellator. Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see they give him a Chael Sonnen or something maybe.
Yeah, that'd be right. It'd be one-way trash talk if it was Chael Sonnen.
He's just been... Yeah. Oh, Chael Sonnen puts up a video every week now, like just every day, like just trash talk.
I hate it.
He's turned on Rogan, he turned on Brendan Sharp, he's turned on people.
Yeah. I love it. And he went on Sharp's show, was that... He turned on him after? I know they were going back and forth.
No, he turned on him after.
He went on Below the Belt, and then I saw the other video popping up.
I don't think Chael isn't doing anything personal. I think he's just
I love Chael.
Chael's got a smart social media manager that's just saying, you got to do a video every day and get into it.
Yeah. I love Chael.
It's just him in a car driving, just talking shit about whatever. So I like that. But, and there wasn't much else, really, in the fight game.
But we do have a big one coming up with Stipe and DC. That's on July 8th, so we'll have a full wrap-up of that next week.
Hopefully,
being on a Monday, we might be able to get some snippets of the countdown show, if you can let me put in some.
Well, we're recording next Tuesday night because Payos. Yeah, so we're recording next Tuesday next week.
Beautiful. Yeah. If I'm conscious, I will be here. And hopefully, because they usually release the countdown on the Monday America time.
There'll
before,
be something.
So, should have some good snippets from that.
Nice, so that'll be good. But that's pretty much, that's Talking Takedown for another week.
The podcast you're listening to is pre-recorded before a live studio fern. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben, Steve and Duke.
Time to thank our major sponsors, The Butcher Shop in Kaleen. Without those guys and girls, we wouldn't be here doing the podcast.
I was there today.
Were you?
Yeah.
What'd you
get? I saw Big, what's his name?
Phil.
Yeah,
Big
I
Phil
forgot his name. Though. I just gave him
He looks like a Phil. Manager and he possibly manages.
He does look like a Phil, 100%.
Yeah.
And I think I spoke about this a few weeks ago. I had Mrs. whip me up for some chicken breasts. I got some more today. I got 4 chicken breasts.
How's the
weight? That's all you'll be eating.
They're going to be roasted probably in the oven
pretty
soon, and they're going to be waiting for me when I get home. Last time it was sensational.
Okay, so we'll probably talk more about it again in your segment, but weight cut week. Does that change a lot of what you eat in a week leading up to a fight?
No bread.
I'm heavyweight, man.
No bread,
play off
Edwards.
The bread. If I take a dump, I lose 5 kilos. I'm on weight now. Look at my hair, man. I look homeless. I just have to shave. I'm on weight, man.
Yeah, I'm
good.
It's not very hard for him, but Juicy makes a fuss like he's cutting down 30 kilos of his body weight.
Slightly thirsty, man.
So slightly thirsty. I had a small breakfast instead of a normal one.
30 eggs this week?
Man, I have 5 eggs every single day without fail.
Yeah, there you go. Well, the grassy's grass-fed eggs, they're next level, those things that
I love
you get at the
butcher
shop.
I ran out and had some normalies.
They're crap.
You literally feel different.
Caden, I remember when I first started media, your second year in, I remember what I was earning at the time, and a deluxe dinner for me was like the offcuts of, you know, 4-quarter chops. Do they pay better these days?
Not me.
No.
Editor might get a bit more, but I'm pretty much on Macca's Happy Meals and that sort of thing.
we'll have to get you next time you come in. We'll get your sly rump steak or something from the butcher shop.
Like,
treat yourself.
Yeah, I remember you'd get stuff in for the promo vehicle at the radio station back in the day, the first year in, and you'd steal whatever you could that was food to give away because you just couldn't afford food because it got in the way of your grog bill. And that was terrible. There's nothing else to do in Cooma when I first started.
I used to work at Macca's and I just break even because I spend all my money on bloody
stuff. See, I could never get employed. I tried to get a job at Macca's and they wouldn't employ me.
My first job out of school.
Yeah, right. Where at? Which one?
145 in Dixon.
Oh, okay.
145 kegs. I used to double cook the hash browns. So I'm like, oh no, I've screwed it up again. I can't sell them. I'll eat them.
I don't know how we've got on to Macca's from the butcher shop, but if you earn more than $2 a week and you want some quality meat, get into the butcher shop at Kayleen in the plaza there. It is Canberra's best meat, hands down.
What do you get when you cross a former radio host, two biff merchants, and the human version of Viagra? You get this, the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben, Steve and Duke.
Hi everybody, it's Scotty Masters here. This is about normally where we'd play my top five in the show, but unfortunately, whilst I did the top five live in the studio and Cade and Duke and even Ben, believe it or not, Ben even laughed, I forgot to hit record on the computer, so I didn't want to have to do it a second time because it's fight week for Ben. He gets upset at the best of times with the top fives, and if he had to sit through the same thing twice, let's just say I probably would have ended up on the floor in a screaming heap. So trust me, it was fucking hilarious, and next week I have to do a top 10 because Duke wasn't happy that the top five wasn't recorded. So anyway, as you were, it's time for this.
He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here!
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-O-Rama.
That's insane in the membrane.
All right, Brother Benny, it's all yours. Have you got anything? Because nothing happened, apparently.
I've got...
Well, I covered it, don't worry.
Yeah, Duke's covered. I've got... I've got a little bit of boxing news. The Aussie Luke Jackson, who I trained next to, but we didn't really know each other back then. He's been a pro since 2013 after... going down in the first round of the London Olympics in 2012, he is fighting for the WBO featherweight title against Carl Frampton, the famous Northern Irishman. Well, he's famous in Northern Ireland. And he's 25-1, 14 KOs versus Luke Jackson. It is a massive step up in class. Luke Jackson hasn't fought anyone of note yet, but he is the goods. He trains like a beast. And so we could have another Aussie world champion. He's fighting on the undercard of Tyson Fury. That's going to be at Windsor Park on August 18th, to 20,000 person stadium. So they reckon they're going to sell it out.
It'll be packed because everyone will want to go and see Fury and see what sort of shape he comes into it in.
Yeah. Who's he fighting this time, Fury?
Another bum. They didn't even. It's TBA.
Yeah. It's, okay.
So
yeah. Right. Just be another.
I think they're going to just get him two or three more bum fights, and then hopefully step him up with Deontay or someone like that.
Parker.
Maybe. Yeah. One of the top four. Yeah. Maybe we'll see. But who knows what's going to happen there, man? There's nothing else going on. We've spoken about me last 2 weeks.
Well, Ben was training pretty well on Friday. Jesus Christ, he went through a few training partners.
Yeah, smash versus nose.
He smashed those
10 seconds in.
That video you put up, that first right hand looked like it hurt. And it was funny. I know I said it, and a few people went, Ben, put your bloody hands up. But then you countered with then you get taken down.
Yeah, but having your hands up, glued to your head, that's like day one boxing. Once you get good at that, then you can start expanding. Because if I'm throwing a jab, my jab's down in my hip.
Yep.
It comes in on a different angle and it's harder to see. And I land a lot more jabs when I throw it from down low than I do when my hands are up high, because you can see it coming. It's in your field of vision.
Yep.
And also with grappling, if someone's going to try and take me down, if I don't get... And
Canberra's favourite fighting son to take you down.
An underhook, you
idiot.
It's the only thing you say in the corner, man.
Mate, it's true, the last
but if
fight.
I don't get an underhook.
Sorry, I didn't read your mind, dude. Yeah, he's doing this. He just pointed at me and started clicking like I should.
But if I don't get an underhook, I'm on my ass, man. So I like fighting with my hands down. I'm pretty good with a shoulder roll. Probably going to get flatlined down.
No, I reckon like when I said to him at first, I said, I'll only tell you to keep your hands up if I look like you're not doing it strategically. You're sort of just looking like you're tired.
Yeah.
As opposed to like at the start of the fight. That was the first round of a fight. It was obviously not, I'm being lazy. It's all part of like technique.
Yeah.
Whereas at the end of a five, okay, keep it together.
Yeah.
That's the big thing we try and do. Just keep everything clean at the end and make sure you're covering up, because you don't.
I'm sure as hell didn't post the next round with DJ just on top of me. Oh, it was terrible. My head was bouncing off the rubber. Oh, rough night.
Well, put it.
It was a rough one.
Away from Ben, Duke. I mean, you've been with Ben in these last two fights.
Yeah.
How have you think this is? I mean, there's been the big layoff because there's been fights that have been canned and promoters that have gone bust and all sorts of shit. But how do you think Ben's in shape for this fight?
He's underhook. Oh, sorry. He's definitely in shape. It's going to be good. Like we haven't really stopped. Momentum's kicked all the way through. We've all been getting ready for different things, and he just got back from America, so it's going to be, it's fine. After what he did to some of my close friends at training on Friday, Yeah, I've got, yeah. I've got full
poor
confidence.
Poor Reza. Like Reza.
He head kicked our friend Reza.
Mate, he fights at 77. Did he fight at 80?
Yeah, 77 and 85, yeah.
And 85. He's I train with him all the time. Like he is Mr. Consistency. He's
right,
like
now he is.
85 ringing wet.
Yeah.
And man, I roll with him at 100% and spar. I don't never spar 100%, but I go hard with him.
Yeah.
I thought he was tough as nails before that. 10 seconds into the spar, he's sort of like shot in for a single leg. I've just whipped up a kick at the same time. My shin just wrapped around his nose. His eyes, it was cross-eyed. It was ball-eyed. And he didn't know what was going on. He's all glassy-eyed. I thought, shit, I've killed him. No, but didn't draw. He sort of stumbled around for a bit, took a round off, then jumped straight back in. He is tough as nails, man. Those Iranians, man. There's something in the water.
Yeah. So yeah, it was good. Yeah, no, it was good.
I'm really packed session.
Ben's ready to go.
How do you see it going, Benny? This one, it's not going to be a grappling match, is it?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if Felice initiated the clinch. Like he's a banger, but he is taking it on short notice, so he might be just trying to. You know, everyone knows my game plan, so I reckon it wouldn't surprise. I'm ready for anything, man. It wouldn't surprise me if Felice try and put me on the cage and work from there. But I think. Someone's, you know, you look at our records, man. We've got 60 KOs between the two of us. Someone's sleeping, man, for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be
fun. Yeah, but I feel awesome, man. I think it's going to be confident. My weight. And since the last fight, too, I only started, like, the active rest, like, doing the proper thing like an athlete should. Like, a month before the last fight when Duke worded me up about the importance of an active rest, I've been going right through for 8 months. I had 3 days off due to a staph infection.
So which I've you got from fight. Duke?
Probably. Well, you gave me some other stuff.
I definitely gave him the stuff.
So, all right, mate. Nah, 100. This is eighth month camp going yeah, into right. this. So, man, I'm well and truly ready to go.
All right. Well, I know Canberra and Queeman are behind you, man, and looking forward to a result on Saturday. And
there will be a result.
Don't let me down, man.
Is famous for the Campeses, George Lazenby, Mark Webber, and it's where this podcast is recorded. Well, 3 out of 4 ain't bad, I guess. It's the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Benny, Steve, and Duke.
While the Macedonian piece of Viagra is bouncing around Osaka as we speak.
what's her name?
Sorry?
Osaka. Who's that? Haven't met her yet.
Oh, sucker.
He's got one of these suckers. Yeah.
Oh, it's sucker. Something's going on over there. And Steve's mum listens to this, doesn't she? Sorry, Mrs. Payos.
I'm not. He's grub. He raised a dirty little boy.
It's not going to suck at itself.
Yeah. More racism here on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Yeah, we're looking after everyone tonight. That's what it's all about. Kate Helmers from the Canberra Times has popped in this week to basically look at all the sport that's got nothing to do with Biff, the stuff Ben and Duke don't really care about. Mate, what do you got for us?
I don't know, Benny, want to go have a drink?
Well, there's plenty happening. Obviously, Origin, the big talking point of the week. New South Wales, a second series win in 13 years. It's been a long time coming since the last one, and even longer time coming since before then. So
I reckon we just needed the day change. Wednesdays don't work for us.
Sundays they turned the first game on a Wednesday, and the TV numbers were down. So yeah, I guarantee
I'm
you.
I'm talking about New South Wales winning.
No, I know, but I guarantee you that it won't be on Sunday next year because the TV numbers were down compared to a Wednesday.
Yeah,
yes.
Wow.
So,
what percentage?
I think it was 2.3 as opposed to about 2.9. 600,000 people is a lot of advertising dollars. So, yeah.
Well,
good game, though.
I actually watched it. It's the first Origin I've watched in about 5 years.
Okay. Yeah.
I was that excited. Got into bed afterwards with the missus. They call me Freddie Fittler. Jeez. And he's Freddie Fittler. We needed,
like. Yeah, well, I mean, the guy is a bit tapped and a bit crazy, but it's worked.
The earthing.
Well, the fact that he just didn't, you know, he didn't bring in Bo Scott again, and he didn't bring in all those guys that, you know, Mitchell Pearce and people like that just haven't been able to do the job for the Blues. So I think bringing those guys that didn't have that whole headspace of, oh shit, here we go, it's Queensland again, was one of the best things he did, you know.
Fresh start, man. The baby blues. Baggage. You had to do something.
Yeah.
And every year everyone's talking about, oh, we need to pick this bloke, oh, he's not ready yet. But the amount of 20-year-olds, like we had a 20-year-old at halfback and we had all these young blokes on the edges.
It's
and
definitely good. Yeah. Building a dynasty. You
know? And it might be able to relate it a little bit to fighting. Sometimes being like young and naive can be such a good strength. Like if you've got like a bit of experience, you're not as you can be a little bit more gun shy and scared to take risks. But obviously, if you're that young and you haven't had that experience of messing up those high risk situations, being naive can be really be a benefit. I think that was a big part of it for the New South Wales guys. They weren't scared to try stuff.
Yeah. Young, dumb, and full of don't worry.
Well, I mean, even Caelan Ponga on the Queensland side, like there was talk before game one, Kevy Walters and that going, we don't want to put him in yet. He's a bit young. He was bloody sensational last night. He played 55 minutes in the middle, out of position, almost scored one of the best Origin tries you've seen. And he's 20.
Yeah. So I think he could have been used so much better as well, but he didn't let anyone down in the middle. Like, that was probably one of the best Origin debuts we'll see. And he's defending in the middle. He's a 20-year-old fullback slash winger. It's interesting to see what they do with him game three, whether he goes to the back or goes to the wing. I think Slater probably hasn't. Fullback, he was pretty phenomenal.
They were much better with Slater at the back, marshalling the troops. Like, you could see that they were a much better side. That first 20 minutes, they were all over New South Wales, all over them.
Yeah,
so
and they nearly scored in like 2 minutes or three minutes, like straight away. I thought, here we go.
So did I. Yeah. I was screaming at the TV. I'm surprised you didn't hear me at your place. But the talk of Ben Hunt had an absolute shocker.
Oh, mate, that bloke hates big games at ANZ Stadium.
He does.
Dead set, even he'd have nightmares about it. Like. Yeah. Dropping that ball in the grand final a few years ago.
What about kicking on the third?
Well, on the third, Fatty, and then kicking it
into the 10th row of the grandstand.
And so New South Wales got a 7-set tackle coming out of their own end, and then the same thing happened. I think it was Chambers. Chambers kicked it out as well. And
and it wasn't a set move or anything. It was I think he just winged it, like panicked a bit, and just going, there's the 10th row. Here's mum. Here, mum, have a foot.
That's kind of what Mitchell Pearce has done for the last 7 years of Oregon. No, well, it's true. Like,
that's been New South Wales to a T over the last 12 years.
Yeah, Mitchell Pearce, again, like as I've always said, fantastic club player. Struggles at Origin, just can't take that step up next level. Ben Cray was the same.
I think a lot of that can be like, he's obviously got the talent, but he's had a few bad experiences early in his Origin career, and he's just destroyed his confidence. You can never get that back sometimes.
Yeah, so there was plenty of footy going on over the weekend. Women's Origin on Friday night kicked it all off.
That
was, it was a cracker, wasn't it? Yeah. Women's rugby league, so much better than women's AFL. It can be a bit of a chore to watch, and I've got two sisters that play, and it's a bit of a battle.
They go for it, man. We used to play with the chicks at Dixon College, and they used to make us like duct tape their boobs up and stuff before we play. They were violent, man.
Yeah, I think violent. The sport, like the women's, the sevens, and the way women's sports sort of growing in the country, it's sort of awesome to see the, like, really good athletes that maybe rugby league and rugby union as well that they might not have got a couple 10 years ago. So the quality's just gone through the roof. So they've got all these absolute weapons playing that they probably would have gone to netball or hockey or something like that 10 years ago. But it's cool to watch, you know, the sport grow. It's like sort of like just a bit of a rebirth for the sport.
Yeah, indeed. No, it's good. And like there was a bunch of young girls there at North Sydney Oval. I think a crowd of about 8,000 people were there to watch it. Yeah. So.
Well, the last UFC.
That's right.
6,409.
That's right. There you go. And what about all the hoo-ha with the two birds that kissed?
Oh,
the
who
gives a shit?
Yeah. NRL stuck the boot in on Facebook.
It was good. Like,
let's say, bloody hell, I've kissed blokes.
Jake was in it.
They were happy, you know.
And the Pacific Test on Saturday night as well, that was a big one. You can tell you what, like, take that sippy towel that Tonga do, hook it into my veins. Like, that is brilliant stuff. Like, Samara and Tonga go and do both their war cries at the same time. They go one move each and they ended up face-to-face. It was just... Brilliant stuff. And like, as a little white guy, I'll obviously never be a part of that, but I just would love to experience that feeling of watching someone just right in your face and just just trying to intimidate
you. It's always tingles watching that, man. That's just thousands of years of family history just faced up.
I like that. When we went and played for the troops in 07 in the Solomon Islands, we went out to Rove Prison on Honiara and played, and all the guards at Rove Prison were Kiwis. And we went there and played for them. And at the end of it, they said, we'd be honoured if we could do a haka for you. And we're like, yeah. And six guys it was out the back of this prison. It is one of the most scariest things I've ever faced down. And, like, you know, I bounced in plenty of pubs, but this was just like spine.
Yeah.
You just, hairs were up.
I say it all the time, but that's literally go to war shit.
It is. It is. And, it was pretty full-on stuff.
I've seen the best one I ever saw in person was at a funeral, actually. And it was just spontaneous. It was... One of the Maori fellas there, Rocky, he's been a bouncer on the door forever. He's he just stopped and he didn't even have like his little segment in there. He's just like, guys, all the Maori boys, we're getting up, we're doing one. That was Yeah, that was unforgettable.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, nice.
And moving on, there's plenty more as my sister keeps calling me as I'm trying to look at my notes here.
The Wallabies.
She's heard what you said about her playing AFL, man.
The Wallabies obviously went down to Ireland over the weekend as well, so they lost that series 2-1.
That's another, sucked.
Another bullet in rugby union in Australia.
Yeah, like, that ref was absolutely appalling.
Rubbish.
It was a really, that was a tough game.
Was it the ref or the guys in there?
The ref was the Frenchie, mate. Of course he was cheating.
Like, is that right, Didier?
They weren't to be trusted, those French. No, it was a shame because, yeah, as I said, we really needed that win, like the Wallabies and Australian Rugby Union as a whole. And it's just to have a slip away like that, a series to Ireland, yeah, it's a bit of a shame.
One cool thing that did come out of it, though, I saw David Pocock posted afterwards, 2005 Australian Schoolboys Tour, he was billeted with an Irish family. And one of the blokes was playing for Ireland on Saturday night.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Pretty awesome
moment
for them and those two families. World Cup, I know you guys have been tuned in every single night.
I'll be honest.
I know, did Croatia beat Denmark?
No, I'll be honest. I've watched three games. I watched three games of soccer.
I just hear it from all the guys at work because where I work is United Nations.
Drudik
was pumped up.
Yeah, I watched some. I watched some games last week.
I mean, Australia had a decent result.
That was boring.
From the last podcast, Payos would have been happy. We had a one-all draw.
He was standing up here, storming around.
He's very passionate.
He's very fired up. But yeah, so I don't know. Thursday night, I think, is our next game, isn't it?
Wednesday night. By the time this is out, we'll know if we're alive or not.
We'll be out.
We're not going to be alive. Are you kidding?
Who they got? This?
Peru, the big Peru. Game, the big grudge match.
What are they called?
Our arch nemesis, Peru.
Peru, cocaine cowboys. What's
that'd
the
be
Peru?
Colombia. We That's why Maradona.
Anywhere in South America gets painted with that brush, man.
Wait, what? Like, where do these countries come from? Like, every 4 years, just see the smallest little World Cup. Like, wait, there was some ridiculous teams playing in that thing. You just go,
the mighty Panama.
Like, Canberra should chuck a team in there if they're going to do it that way. Like, this had small populations. How do they beat us all in soccer? Like, this is a joke.
Canberra's like, a territory, Duke.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I was asking Paula, my Tongan mate, does Tonga have a team in the World Cup? Shit, no.
No, I just don't think that we should be losing to countries like Peru in football. We have a multi-million-dollar football program.
Well, they've been flogged, so they're out no matter what, Peru. So there's every chance we're going to beat them, but I think it's the other teams in our group.
France has got to keep them other buggers scoreless.
Yeah, France have got to do a number on Denmark, and we have to win. So as we record, the dream has a pulse, but as we go to air, it would probably be...
We cooked, like me in August last year.
And one final little thing from me wrapping up cricket. It's escaped pretty much all the attention, which is probably a good thing for Australia at the moment.
Terrible.
Smoked 5-0 over in England in a one-day series. This series is exactly why the 12-month bans for Steve Smith and David Warner were absurd. Give them a couple of games. Bring it back in a series like this where no one cares, and then by the time we're back home playing in a series anyone cares about, they're like, oh, well, they've already been back for a while.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Like, I mean, it wasn't that big a deal.
Precedent had been set.
I was very passionate. I stood up for that one.
But the precedent had been set. Like, some of the South Africans had done the same thing and they were out for one game and a fine. Yeah. And that was
Is it only because of the media coverage in Australia?
I guarantee
they just
you,
had to react.
It was something. Outrage about the outrage, basically.
Yeah. The outrage train drove them to suspension town big time.
Isn't he going somewhere, Warner? Is it at the airport tonight on the news doing something?
He's going to play some tournament in Canada, I think, and then then back into New South Wales training and potentially playing a Shield final should New South Wales go that far this year.
Yeah, right.
So. Yeah, awesome. Hey, how was the Jeff Horn fight over in Vegas?
Unbelievable.
Oh, that's right. You went over for that, didn't
they flew
you?
Him over.
Photos. You were closer than some of the other. Like, I saw that photo of yours.
He's actually Canberra's favourite fighting journalist.
He is. He is. But what was that experience?
You
like?
Went to his some of his training sessions. And stuff
yeah,
too.
Went to trainings. Basically, went everywhere, and it was unbelievable. Fantastic week. So, basically got the call 2 weeks out that we want you to come over and cover the fight and all this sort of stuff. And
so who called you there, camp, or was it
Dean Lonergan? So GK.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay.
So he got on to me 2 weeks out and he's like, oh, well, you're going to need a visa and all this stuff. And I was like, All right, battling here.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, so managed to get a visa in 2 weeks. Got there, got to my house with 2 days to spare. So
Jeez, that's awesome.
Yeah, then I was on the plane and out of there, and yeah, a lot of late nights and early starts, but going to trainings and that sort of thing. Just sort of being around a guy like that while he's preparing for the biggest fight of his life, it was just phenomenal. And I can't say enough good things about him either. Like, just a fantastic guy. Like, put him in probably the same group as you, Benny, and Dave Toussaint. Not quite Duke.
He's a bit bland, isn't he? A bit of a plain packet of potato chips on Jack Paul. Just give him a bit of hype around him, eh?
No, really unbelievable week. And, the fight itself, we were, three rows back, I think. So it was pretty phenomenal. And
Jeez,
went to the ice hockey over there as well and stuff. So, it was unreal. The timing was
first time overseas?
First time to America.
For work, so,
Because
people think you go on junkets, because I used to go over every October, which used to be called Rocktober back in the day on the radio, and we'd go and broadcast from somewhere with a big rock. So we did like Disneyland, Hawaii, we did the Grand Canyon and all that stuff. And because you're working on the time you're in over there, but you've still got to do all your stuff back here, you end up working like 18, 19-hour days, and it destroys you to get it all done. Yeah,
it was killer. Like, you'd be up at 7 and then sleeping pattern to get messed around, because we had Origin at 3 a.m. one morning, and then so I just stayed up for that. And then
so you still had to do your normal work as well while you're over there?
Yeah, it was a bit absurd. So like, over there I was punching out one or two Jeff Horn, Terence Crawford stories a day, and then work wanted to challenge me and set me some random stories to try and get. So I did a story on like Vegas Stadium, why we need an indoor stadium.
Yeah, I read that. I like that one.
Yeah.
Did an ice hockey one, and spoke to a burlesque dancer from Canberra and stuff. So there was all these weird and wacky ones that I did over there, but it was good.
Yeah, that would have been a pretty good experience. Do you think
that was at the MGM, right?
Will you get to do more of those ones? Like,
how did the contact come about from JUCO? Like, how did they? Because obviously, you'd think you'd be sent over by Fairfax or whoever. So how did they come to contact you working here at the Canberra Times to go over and do that?
Pretty much. So the day before, like 2 days earlier, I'd spoken to Dean Lonergan for the first time in a story about Dave Toussaint calling out Anthony Mundine.
Oh, yep. I remember reading that one.
Yeah, Dean went pretty hard on Chock there. Mm. You won't take the fight, all that sort of thing. And it doesn't look like he's going to take the bait at this stage. But so then the next day, like, wrote that story. The next day I was in Melbourne shopping with the missus, and then Dean Lonergan starts calling me. I was like, oh, geez, he's pissed off about something.
Boxing from the end of in the lake, wouldn't you?
And I picked up and he's like, oh, mate, I've got journos coming out my ears over in Vegas. I want you to come over. And I was like, oh, yeah, righto. And then got off the phone. I looked at the missus. I was like, you're not going to believe this.
You're not going to like this one bit.
So it was pretty much all happened real quickly like that. And away I went.
Nice, man. Very, very nice. Yeah,
so are you following me around?
I am.
When are we doing that?
When do you want me?
What do you mean following me around? Where to?
Apparently there's going to be an exclusive following Ben around just eating chicken breast for the next 2 days.
If he eats any bread, you tell me right away.
The scales will tell. Yeah. Probably tomorrow, man, if you could. Because Wednesday, I ain't doing cool.
This comes out Thursday, so you will have followed Ben around and we'll see something in what the Canberra Times...
Yeah, so Saturday's paper will have Saturday's something paper out. Basically fight week with Ben Edwards, that sort of thing, just following him around like a bad spot.
On his mum's couch because his head is broken, living the dream.
Mum's house in Charlton, the burgers.
I don't know how good a story that is, just following Ben around. What, he goes Netflix and then we're going to go and get some food? Man, follow me around on the weekend. I'll give you a story.
Ben goes to work, Ben goes home.
You heard what you
Ben
heard,
bakes stuff. Ben.
You heard the budget Caden's got. He just wants to follow Ben to the butcher shop.
Yeah,
that's pretty what it is. So, there you go.
I'll go back.
All right, we'll keep an eye out for that on Saturday. There'll be a story in the Canberra Times on Benny and no doubt follow up in the Canberra Times next week after the events of Saturday. So, Caden, great job, man. Thanks for coming in. And, anytime Stevie's away or the boys are away, you're more than welcome to come in and join
us. I was thinking maybe we get rid of Steve and we just have Caden now.
Get rid of Duke and have Steve and Caden.
Less fumigation to do.
It's because I keep doing better segments than you, Ben.
One, because you stole my freaking notes, man.
Mine didn't even record.
I brought notes this week.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. It's listener question time.
Adrian says, this week, boys, what do you think of the penalty try awarded in Origin last night and the pretty typical bleeding from Queensland fans the day after who don't know how to accept a loss? Well, let's be honest, Queensland have only had to accept one loss in the last 13 years, so they aren't used to it. But what'd you think, Benny? You said you watched the game. What'd you think about that penalty try to Boyd Cordner?
I thought it was definitely a penalty try.
I thought it was there.
I don't see what the issue is.
Yeah, and the Queensland one later in the game was certainly not a penalty try.
Yeah, it's pretty rare, but you could see it, like, even the commentator, they called it straight away. Like, yeah even Gus, yeah, that's a penalty try. And you're watching the slow-mo, definitely the right call. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Did you watch the game?
Yeah, but I was...
It was shit-faced. Yeah. 10 minutes in.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of the game. Sorry, guys. No, I watched all of it. I don't remember, you know, details of that situation.
Caden, your thoughts on that try?
100% penalty try. 100%. Like, it's a big call, but it's a call that has to be made. Like,
yeah, there was no one. There was daylight between him and the ball. Yeah.
And the ref said as much. He said to Greg Inglis, there was no one within cooey of him. Yeah. So there was, no doubt about it. And the Queensland one later on, they got that one right too.
Yeah. I must say, I've had fun today. I don't normally troll online because there's too much of it. But, geez, I had fun firing up some Queensland supporters today because they're just whinging so much. And it's like, well, do you remember back to this decision with Justin Hodges and this it's like, they just can't handle losing because they're not used to it.
You love that, fires you up.
Oh man, I love firing up Queensland.
You don't do it often.
Do the payoffs,
you are
march around,
flip the table.
Oh, Payoffs gets onto Twitter and just feeds randoms.
He loves it. Yeah, like, Payoffs is a massive Twitter troll. He's like, oh, you've got to be able to take it, but he's going, I don't care. And just, Steve just gets into people.
Same as Dana White. He loves it.
Yeah, Dana White's got the money and the muscle to back him up.
He don't give a shit because I'm nearly worth $1 billion. I can do what I want.
Pretty much.
Commenting back to randoms on Instagram. Like, that's petty.
I love that shit.
Yeah, you're not going to get any argument out of us, Adrian. That was certainly a try. And, the Queensland fans, they're cocks.
Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Kayleen. You've downloaded the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Benny, Steve and Duke. Don't ask us how it works. Just be glad it does.
Well, all good things must come to an end, and also must this podcast. I'm not saying it's good, because let's be honest, I right royally screwed it up this week. Steve Payos being away. Caden Helmers did a great job from the Canberra Times in with us, but as you probably worked out by now, I think, Ben, you look pretty happy with yourself because my top five didn't record.
You wanted to uppercut yourself, but I want to give you a high five, man. I'm pretty happy.
So you don't have to sit through it again.
It was awesome.
I'll do it again. Do you want to sit through it?
It was all about survival.
And I pretty much did the whole lead-in for Pantera as well, man.
Yeah, well, you did that. That was fine. That all worked.
You've done nothing tonight.
The top five had everything.
You've done is lost a segment.
I've edited out every time you said fuck, and then when you also said, and that was edited out as well. So I've edited all those out. So mate,
open book, Edwards.
See, the thing is, you show up for an hour and then bugger off.
I've got to do the editing. I know.
It takes me 2 hours on a Tuesday afternoon.
You're a professional man. You've got the full setup. Take me 5 minutes, mate.
Man, we were sitting here the other day when we were recording Ben's thing for Fight Call Out TV, and he goes, oh man, they sent me this email and you have to record on an LDSR camera and I went, you mean a DSLR camera? Yeah, and it's got to be in like landscape, and I went, sideways, Ben. Just not portrait.
No, I don't do that technical
and
stuff.
And to your credit, like you nailed that. You filmed me out twice in the last week, mate. So editing widget aside, I'm very grateful for you as a person.
Give me a high five for not recording my top five this week, because it makes Ben happy.
The people want the top five, and you look at you.
Here it is.
I don't know what happened there. I'll make sure next week's top five is better.
Can we do
ruder,
top 10 next week? To make
I
up
want one? Racism and dicks.
All right.
And then
okay.
I want a top five.
All right, no. What I will do a top 10 next week.
Yeah, do 15.
Because I owe, no, let's not get 20. Too carried away.
Ben's gone, shut up.
Man. We will do a top 10 next week.
We're doing 15, we're doing 20.
I promise you that. I think Payos is back next week. It was only 1 week he was away, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Potentially. And, otherwise, Tokyo has him now.
Yeah, well, you never know. He may have pissed off Yakuza. He could have chopped up the wrong
person.
He might have got
a sucker off the wrong person.
Mate, and again, good luck on Saturday night, dude, in the Big Bang. So this will be 3-0, hopefully, and then one step closer. And then I guess it's trying to find Duke a fight.
Yeah.
Well, at the moment he's just fighting his kidneys.
I might try and sneak in before Duke. If I pull up right from this one, there's going to be a quick turnaround here. Well, it's still going to be Ben Week, I know, but yes.
My back's feeling pretty good. I think maybe.
Are you going to just let it rest?
Maybe we hijack Ben Week and make an announcement that I'm ready to make an announcement soon.
So we're any light heavyweights out there?
That I'm serious. Any light heavyweights out there want to go at the end of the year, let's go.
Yeah.
Otherwise... Love Island has another application.
Have they got back to you yet?
No, nothing
yet.
You haven't heard from Love Island? I don't understand what the issue is.
Two Morris boys is enough, man.
Too many Morris boys in that room just gets a little gay. Yeah.
Caden saw a good meme about Love Island over the weekend, mate. You want to regale us?
Yeah, pretty much. I was that close to tagging the great Duke in it. Basically had people that don't watch Love Island, human skull. People that do watch Love Island, an ape skull. So.
Yeah, well... No, like
good defense,
no.
man.
No,
like, good, no, but
good
yeah,
rebuttal,
no.
dude.
No, you're wrong.
There's proof.
He knows the producers are listening, and they've seen the photo with him with his shirt off. So he wants to play the dumb card to try and get on the
Have
island.
Have you shown him that photo where you like look like a real country boy?
Which
one? Long hair.
So this photo.
Oh, that one from like when you're 17.
Oh, four hour boy, there's a photo.
If you look hard enough on my Facebook, I was nominated for Canberra's Bachelor of the Year. And they did a modelling shoot.
You look like Pete Wentz.
And so I was like, I had a mullet. I was like 20
I was
or
thinking
something.
Tom Petty with abs.
And once a year, every year, it just goes viral again. And everyone likes it. It's like, it's destroyed my life.
Is that the one where you're wearing green jeans?
He was wearing that at the taxi rank when
black
I met him.
T-shirt. Yeah, the black t-shirt, mullet, yeah. So...
Look, oh man, we've all had some shocking past photos.
Yeah, I was going to say, Scotty, like you're not one to throw.
Oh, dude, man, some of the hair I had over the years when I went out with a hairdresser.
This is your hair's been short for since you died.
Yeah,
you used
pretty
to have it way longer than that all the time. Yeah, what's going on, mate?
Been chopping it off, mate. Yeah, I don't know. Who
just
knows?
Getting haircuts.
You just let it. You're Metallica in the '90s, man. You're just not good anymore. You've given up on music.
No, I haven't.
You're a victim of success.
Just because your hair's a bit shorter doesn't mean you've given up
Metallica
on music.
Said before the Load album came out.
Load album was great.
Yeah,
Reload was
blues,
crap.
Yeah, but if you go from Black to Load, it's a different genre.
It sounds like we're talking about Payoffs. And on that note, we're going to thank The Butcher Shop again at Kaylee for being our wonderful sponsors, for letting us do this stupid crap every week. I'll say get a big black dog up you.
Don't miss me too much, Canberra.
See you next Thursday.
Don't come back, Payoffs.
Oh, so good.
Well, that's a wrap. And let me guess what happened in this episode. Duke and Ben argued over who was Canberra's favourite fighting star. Steve pronounced some ethnic sports folks' surnames correctly. And Scotty said something about the Newcastle Knights and tried to impress Edwards with a top five. Am I right? Yeah, thought so. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast couldn't be made possible without our wonderful, long-standing sponsor, The Butcher Shop Kayleen. Wrap your gob around one of their sausages. You'll love it. Till next time.